Welcome to Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now, here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
Welcome to Beyond Words Radio, where it's our ambition to move beyond simply talking about Christianity to living more like Christ. Now, Christ, our Lord, our Savior, he grew up in what we call now the Middle East. And this is a place that when we even hear the phrase, for some of us in the Western world, we're broadcasting right now out of America, but some of us, it strikes fear in our hearts. And then if I throw out the word Muslim, it gets worse because we think terror. But dear friends, we're going to look today a little at the biblical foundations of the fact that God cares for all people. And Muslims have in prophecy, there's a connection there somewhere in the Bible. But more than that, there's meant to be a connection in our hearts, not just a fear, but as we trust God, we can make a difference. We can live like Christ in a world with people who need him desperately. I can't think of a better guest to have with us this morning to help us in this process than Dr. Harmoz Shirat. He is founder and director of Iran Alive Ministries. He's been called the Billy Graham to the country we call Iran. And his story is fascinating, and his insights run deep. He's got a lot to share with us in a short time, so tune in, listen carefully. Harmoz, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Bill, for inviting me to share.
Do you mind starting a little bit with your own story? How did you get involved in this ministry?
Well, I was born as a Muslim myself, and I was pretty devout Muslim until my teenage years, when I realized, okay, repeating these prayers five times a day doesn't do much for me, so just be a good person. But it was after the Iranian Revolution that my faith like renewed. I said, Islam is the way. Look, it has defeated superpower USA. I need to get back and serving Islam. But then I said, but it didn't do anything inside me. You know, my heart wasn't changed when I was following it sincerely. So that put me on a journey, spiritual journey, of comparing the Bible and Quran. I intended to be a good Muslim, but I had doubts. So I started reading Quran, comparing it to Bible. Before that, I had this notion that all religions are the same. And if you study them deeply, they all will be similar. But the more I studied Quran and the Bible, I realized they are not the same. And both cannot be true. That put me in a few months of just struggle. And then I realized how simple the message of the gospel is. One day, a simple prayer, accepting this simple message, changed my life. And that's when I started sharing the gospel with other Muslims, saying, if I do not share this simple message that changes lives with other people, then I'm selfish. And I hope everybody feels that way.
So you came to America, and I know following, you've got a PhD in computer engineering, and following your time coming out of Iran, you planted a church and saw hundreds of Muslim converts. Is that right?
That's right. I was a research scientist, as you mentioned, for many years. And at the same time, started a church in my home. A group in my home turned into be a growing church. And at one point, God said, I want to do something great in Iran, and I'm calling you, giving you the honor to be a part of it. So I switched to being a pastor and a church planter, actually, of the Mother Church in San Jose, California. Hundreds and hundreds of Muslims came to Christ, and we planted six, seven churches in Northern California. And then the media started. After September 11, we went on the air using satellite television to go over the heads of these mullahs into people's homes and tell them about the love of Christ.
Praise God. Now, when some people in the West hear this, the love of Christ, how can we love people who've been taking heads off of Christians? And I know there's a lot more to the world scene than that, but here's my point. Your own brother, tell us about your brother and how it is that you don't end up hating Muslims after all this happened.
Well, I was a new believer, and that's when they arrested my 16-year-old brother in Iran. I was sharing the gospel with my family, and they were rejecting it for the most part. And I was a new believer saying, God, give my brother a chance. Save my family. And so they kept him for 2 years, and they told my mom, oh, he's doing fine, he's recovering, he's changing. And they arrested him not because he was a Christian, but for minor political charges, very minor. So he, when he turned 18, they called my mom, said, come and get his body. They just executed him in jail. And when my mom went to get my brother's body, they charged her. They said, you have to pay for the bullets, for the cost of killing your son. So she had to pay money to get his body. And that's put me in a crisis of faith. I said, God, I prayed for his release and salvation first. And then it turned to anger. This is not fair. A young man, and he was killed. That's not fair. I'm so angry. I'm going to take revenge of those who killed my brother. And then I realized, oh my gosh, God says revenge is mine. So I cannot get revenge. He said, God, you know, I hate him. And this is like a matter of 2 or 3 days. And I felt God saying, no, you can't hate him. You're called to love your enemies. Then I said, God, I'm angry. I get angry. And God says, if you're angry in your heart, you've already killed him. That's in the Bible. Oh my gosh. I said, God, what can I do? I can't get revenge. I can't hate. I can't get angry. Could I at least cuss at him so I can feel better? So the Lord said, no, you can't. When you worship with your mouth, you cannot cuss. So that's the time I said, what can I do? And it was a revelation. Of course, it's from Bible that God says, yeah, the greatest power is the gospel, telling the gospel with love, and you are called to love them. First of all, those who killed your brother are not your enemies. They are the victims in the hands of our one enemy, Satan. And you're not supposed to hate the victims. You're supposed to love them. Only one personality you need to hate, that's Satan. And by the way, God, I felt God said, do you want to hurt Satan? I said, yes. Go and evangelize. When somebody comes to Christ, there is dancing and feast in heaven, so there is mourning in hell with the demons and Satan. So if you, every time one person comes to Christ, it's like stabbing the hearts of the enemy, Satan. So that's when I got motivation and commitment. I said, God, I'm going to commit my life to you to share this simple but powerful message with love. I'm going to love Muslims, and would you use me to bring at least 1 million Muslims to Christ? That's when I made a deep commitment to the Lord.
That is so beautiful. And I love what you're saying. It can help each of us turn in this place of fear and anger and hate. The idea that this battle is first spiritual. There's an enemy of our souls named Satan, and we can allow all the tables to turn by loving and by helping people come to salvation. That's the ultimate victory. It's not getting revenge. We're supposed to leave that with God. So I thank you for your story and for sharing it so openly, Hormoz. That is so beautiful. And so you have then been led by God, as you have this prayer goal to reach 1 million Muslims, to broadcast on radio and other things. Tell us about your ministry and how it's unfolded.
Well, I started planting churches and at the same time did some radio work. But it was after September 11th when God said, now this is the time. Time is passing. Islam is invading the West. The church in the West is half asleep, doesn't even know what the enemy is doing, let alone that they would see what I'm doing and join me. So it was after September 11th. We bought 1 hour of satellite television from a secular channel. We broadcast into the Middle East in Farsi. And from day one, we had so many phone calls coming in, both good and bad. Most of them were good. Most of them are Muslims who are saying, this is the first time I hear the gospel. I thought Christians believe in three gods. I believe they told me that Bible has been corrupted. They told me you're doing blasphemy, that you raised Jesus as a man to be God. So all these misconceptions was being removed, and we were getting thousands and thousands coming to Christ. Day and night, we had phone calls, people calling to receive Christ. Now the phones are more controlled, but of course there are other ways, that social media and all that, but it continues to impact people and come from Iranian Muslims come to Christ. One thing, Bill, is that and most people don't know, Iran as a nation has rejected Islam. That Islam is experiencing its greatest defeat in its history in Iran right now. Millions of Muslims have rejected Islam and are open to the gospel, especially in Iran. Iran is ripe for the gospel. Of course, when you look at Jeremiah 49, verse 38, you see that God says, I will set my throne in Elam, which is today land of Iran. So we know that eventually Iran will be a Christian country, because setting my throne there doesn't mean that just a few thousands or a few million come to Christ and they just gather in churches and worship. That's not ruling a country. Iran will be a country where Jesus will be worshipped and obeyed in every segment of society, not just the churches, but at the government, media, marketplace. In every segment, Jesus' values and rule will be felt. That's when he can say, I will set my throne in Elam, which is today's land of Iran. And by the way, that's already happening. It's not a far away in the future. Someday it's going to happen. It's already happening. Iran is moving towards being a Christian nation very fast. And it's not just me saying it. It's just not our numbers. We have over 35,000 people registered names who called us to pray to receive Christ. These are Muslims. But research shows that. Operation World, which publishes Operation World Manual, it's a research company and Christian research. And they do research all over the world. Their manual covers all the countries of the world, reviews them spiritually, politically, economy. But in its latest edition, it has put, now, can you believe this? It has put Iran as the fastest growing evangelical population in the world, not just among Muslims, in the world. Number one, Iran is the fastest growing Christian population in the world right now. And not many people know it, and even fewer people are involved in this revival.
Who would ever guess? So here and there, people, there's the outbreak of stories about Muslims coming to Christ through visions and dreams. Is this happening in Iran?
Oh, that's so common, Bill. I can share hours of stories. And of course, some people say, oh, visions and dreams are not for today. I don't discuss theology. I'm just reporting. It's happening. And people who mention it by thousands, they mention it knowing that they could be killed by saying things like that. But let me just share a funny story that wraps it up. This man called me on the air. You know, we have live broadcast. We have it 24/7, and a few hours of it is live. And he called me on live, and he said, I'm trying to imitate him. He had no emotions in his voice. He was saying, Pastor Ormos, 3 months ago, I had liver problem, and I called you, and you prayed for me, and my liver was healed, and I didn't need surgery. So I got excited. I said, oh, praise the Lord. Jesus is alive. Jesus healed. Then he continued. And then I prayed. I started praying for other people. I had a friend with cancer. I prayed for him. His cancer was gone. And here I was, oh, praise the Lord. God is good. But he had no emotions, monotone voice. He says, I had a relative. She had a brain tumor. I prayed for her brain tumor. The brain tumor was gone. I said, oh, praise God, Jesus heals brain tumors. So a few minutes of this, he is sharing testimonies with no emotions, monotone voice, and I being excited. After a few minutes, he got frustrated with me. He said, Pastor Ormos, why are you so excited? Have you read your Bible? So I was admonished by him of, why don't you believe this? This is in the Bible, and it's happening. So, yes, Jesus is showing up with visions, dreams, miracles to confirm the message. And may I say something? I feel God is doing this to Muslims. And I feel he's shouting and proclaiming to us Christians in the West, saying, hey, guys, don't you see I love them? I love these Muslims. I want them to get saved, and I'm doing my part. I have opened their hearts. I'm appearing to them. I'm healing them. I'm doing my part. Would you do your part? Your part is to share the gospel. He does the rest. He opens the hearts. He does visions, dreams, and miracles. He does salvation and transformation, but he asks us to do our part. What is our part? Simple. Share the simple message of Christ, of the gospel, with love. Can we do that?
Wow. That is amazing. So you have seen then in your own ministry these open doors. How can people be involved? What if they want to help? Is prayer the best way?
Prayer is number one, and because we are facing the dark spirit of Islam. And, of course, in the Bible, it talks about the Prince of Persia, which is a strong demon over that region. So, number one, it's a lot of attack on our physical and our bodies, finances. Enemy has tried to cut us out in a battle, in a war. One of the best strategies to defeat your enemy is to cut the supply line, right, instead of facing them. So the enemy has in the past tried to completely cut our supply lines of finances. So it is a spiritual battle, and that we need that. We need to defeat. We need to have the victory in the heavenly to see the result on the earth. Number two is, of course, the financial, as the Lord leads, those who want to, their investment counts to have a breakthrough in the Islamic world, and not just Iran, but the whole Middle East. You know, Iran is a door to the Middle East, and it's a fertile ground. What you invest in that field, you see immediate result because Iranians are open to the gospel. And number three is to get involved. We have a 24/7 broadcast, television broadcast, going over the heads of the mullahs into people's homes. The mullahs are angry, but they cannot do anything. We're going into these homes one-on-one, face-to-face, share the gospel. And I'm inviting those who have videos, those who have preaching, teaching, and not just the preachers and teachers. I'm inviting businessmen to come and teach about godly business. I'm talking about those with the marriage counseling, come and teach about a good marriage, parenting. All kinds of programs need to go to Iran because the church in Iran is growing. It's beyond evangelism. 50 million Iranians out of 80 are open to the gospel, at least to hear it. There is 2 or 3 million believers in Iran. These are believers, brothers and sisters who have come to Christ. These are Muslim background believers. No church, no resource. The only thing we can get to them is through media, television, to not just encourage them, but teach them Bible and biblical principles. So number one, prayer. Number two, finances. But number three, come and join us in ministry.
This is really, really exciting. Now, if you want to reach out, you want to make a connection, this is Iran Alive Ministries. You can, on the internet, iranaliveministries.org. But an easier way is to do a text. Tell us about this, Harmoz. Am I right? It's Iran 77948.
Yeah, just a text the word Iran, I-R-A-N, text that word to a number, 77948. 77948. That's the best way to be in touch with us. Get updates, get testimonies. We have amazing testimonies weekly out, but we publish it monthly. So yeah, just connect with us. Get informed. You know, to do the will of God, you have to have the mind. You have to get informed first what God is doing. And, of course, you have to have his heart, which is love. But so first get informed. Know what God is doing. And I pray these testimonies and reports will encourage you. So text the word IRAN, I-R-A-N, to number 77948. Thank you.
Beautiful. So what is upcoming? What do you want us to pray for? What do you hope will happen in your ministry and in Iran in the coming years?
Bill, the opportunity is so great. It's like Macedonian call. I'm coming to tears because there are many, many young people coming to Christ in Iran. Hmm. They contact us. They say, we are ready to live and die for Jesus. Would you train us? Would you help us grow? Would you help us to become productive ministers? And with the limited staff and resources, we only can take 20, 30 at a time. And hundreds and hundreds are saying, what about us? We want to be trained. So pray that we will be able to do God's will as the doors open. Mm. You know, God has graciously positioned us, Iman Alive, to have a major impact in Iman. I can see it. But we are just scratching the surface. And we need the help of our brothers and sisters to transform Iran into a Christian nation. And through Iran, the whole Middle East will be impacted.
Talk to us a little about the world scene as you're involved in both sides, the Eastern world and the Western world. And there's this huge astronomical plight of the refugees coming out and many coming to America. What are other opportunities we should be aware of?
Well, the refugees, as you read in the news, there are some of them that might be ISIS agents. Hmm. But not all of them. Most of them are desperate people. Most of them are Muslims who have been hurt by Muslims. Can you hear me? Hmm. Millions of these refugees, millions are Muslims who have been hurt by ISIS Muslims. So many, many of them are open to the gospel. One of the most productive ministries is to work among Muslim refugees running from Middle East into Europe, coming to U.S. Now, the sad thing is, in the U.S., I think that's a sign of the weakness of church. Instead of seeing this as an opportunity, we see this as a threat. We say, even Christians say, all these Muslims coming to U.S., they may impact us negatively. That shows how weak we are. I think we have the powerful gospel when we share with love to these refugees, who many of them are open to the gospel. Many of them will come to Christ. So, of course, there is threat. Of course, ISIS will send its agents mixed with the refugees. But let's not just look at the threats, but the great opportunity of millions of Muslims who are open to the gospel because they have been hurt by other Muslims, and they are already questioning the validity of Islam.
Hmm. And I know the refugees are everywhere. They're all through the Middle East. And this sense of questioning the validity of Islam is happening all over the world. Tell us a little more about what you're seeing as the work from Iran is impacting other nations in the Middle East.
As the church, you know, a healthy church is an extrovert church that wants others to get saved. And I'm so happy to hear as the believers in Iran grow, they start thinking about others. I get so many requests of believers in Iran, and many of them already are doing it. Oh, Pastor, well, I have a heart for Arabs. I have a heart for Afghans, Tajiks. So if we work on a healthy church in Iran, mission to other nations is a natural. I think that's a natural, even in the U.S., a healthy church in the U.S. is shown. It's a sign of a healthy church when a healthy church doesn't just think about itself, says, I'm going to be used by God, not just in my city, but among the nations. That's a good sign. So as we work on the health of the church in Iran, it is naturally growing and naturally is having heart for the other Muslim nations in the Middle East.
Mm. Oh, that's good. What would you advise? There are no doubt Christians listening who are part of churches, there are pastors listening. How do you advise them to make that healthy church and to help people turn from this introverted, I got to protect myself, to the outreach that Christ commands of us in a Great Commission? How can we make that turn?
Well, may I speak to pastors? I've been pastor, church planter. I'm not a television figure. You know, I'm not a televangelist. I'm a church planter. Mm. I've done that for 30 years, and I use media as a tool. So may I talk to pastors? If you do not bring mission, which is a part of heart of God, into your church is going to get sick. An introvert Christian is a sick Christian who just thinks about me, myself, my needs. An introvert church is going to be a sick church if it's not yet. We have to, this brings health to a church. If you bring, I'm talking to pastors, bring a vision beyond the church, bring a big national, international vision to your church, it's going to help your church. get healthy. Let them know the heart of God, especially among Muslims. Let them start loving the enemies and loving Muslims and start doing something. And God supernaturally will bless your church.
Wow. And I think it often it starts in prayer, doesn't it? Do you have suggested prayer guides to help us get God's heart for the world by praying for them first?
Well, may I say, we need to pray for ourselves first. We need to pray for ourselves. God, I want your heart. I want your mind. I want to know what you're doing, but I want to have your heart. Unfortunately, because of what ISIS is doing, because of 9/11, many Christians have started either fearing Muslims or hating them. And neither of them is of God. And may I say this, both of them, you know, the spirit of Islam is spirit of violence and hatred and fear. So if you're a Christian, I'm going to be bold here. May I, Bill?
Yes, I want you to be bold. I need to hear it myself.
Okay. If you're a Christian, and either you're afraid of Muslims or you hate them, may I say you have submitted to very spirit of Islam. You've submitted to that spirit. Because the spirit of Holy Spirit is not of fear. God has not given us spirit of fear, but love, power, and self-control. So if you do not love them, so first you talk about prayer. God, give me your heart towards Muslims. God loves Muslims, and he has a plan. God loves the world, but he has a plan. If you ask God, you know, 1.6 billion Muslims, do you love them? Of course he says, I love them. Do you have a plan? Do you think God will panic and say, oh, I don't know what to do with them? He has a plan, and he is doing it. We just need to find out, get his heart, and join him where he is working. And now, very clearly, he's working in the nation of Iran. So number one prayer is for ourselves. God, awaken my heart. Let me love who you love, and let me see what you're doing, and let me join you. And number one. Number two, God, thank you for working in the Middle East. I pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters that they will be strong, they be a light in the darkness, and through these struggles, through the work of ISIS, through work of Islamic government of Iran, that millions more will come to Christ. Pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters, and they are heroes. I know these young people who have been tortured, and I talk to them, and they say, it was an honor for me to be tortured for Jesus. I'm ready to die and live for Jesus. So pray for our brothers and sisters. This is the persecuted church in Iran is not a weak brothers and sisters that, oh, the poor guys, that we need to help them. Of course we need to help them, but they are not poor. They are mighty in spirit.
Praise God. You have challenged us, and it's all good challenge. And I embrace it. I hope everyone listening embraces this challenge to be more like Christ by being bold and to obey our Lord, following him as we proclaim the gospel. Dr. Homoz Shirat with Iran Alive Ministries, we thank you for your ministry. And I hope many will get in touch. As mentioned, you can text 77948, type in Iran. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Bill, for allowing me to share what God is doing. That's a joy.
God bless you.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. Beyond Words is a ministry of scripture awakening. And if you'd like to help support this ministry, or if you would like to know more about Beyond Words, visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com.